Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Mists by Rami Vance and Michael Anderley. Narrated by Jen Lee. Chapter 1.
These mists are thick as cabbage soup,
the unibrowed ogre exclaimed as he picked his way through the dense forest at night. The scarred and scruffy Wendigo ahead of him scoffed, but continued leading the way toward camp.
It's pea soup, idiot.
Whatever, the ogre grumbled. I can't see nothing.
The large creature tried parting the greenish mists with his paddle-like palm, but the action did little. The mists that had surrounded the outskirts of Rainwater for the past week stubbornly clung to the air, especially at night. The ogre squinted uneasily, gripping a club in his other hand, as if expecting an ambush at any time.
It's so unnatural.
The Wendigo continued to lead them through the tall grass. He shook his head. His crooked, tufted ears jiggled with emotion.
You're unnatural.
Shut up. My eyesight ain't what it used to be.
The Wendigo clicked his claws against each other, trying to rein in his irritation.
You oaf. You don't need to see anything. It's night. The moon is behind the clouds.
That's why I'm worried.
Ogres don't get worried. You and me, we're the things that go bump in the night. Snap out of it. The boss is waiting on us.
The ogre gripped his club tightly. His face scrunched up as he tried to peer through the fog. It was like walking through the Aurora Borealis. It was exciting, but unnerving. The ogre might not have the best head on his shoulders, but he picked up on the Wendigo's unease.
You're scared too, aren't you?
Finally, the Wendigo stopped and turned. The ogre nearly ran into him, but the smaller creature's glare made him flinch.
Get it together. We're here on a mission. You remember what it is?
The ogre held his club to his chest for a moment. His fat tongue twisted out the corner of his mouth as he thought. His eyes lit up like bulging white eggs.
Revenge!
The Wendigo thrust a finger to his crooked lips.
Hush, you oaf. Yes, revenge.
Licking his lips, the ogre dropped his club and rapidly rubbed his massive hands together.
Against the great troll detective? The one they call the main troll? She defeated our master.
Yes. What are we going to do?
The ogre's bushy eyebrow wrinkled over his eyes as resolve washed over him.
We kill her and take her puny head to the corruptor's prison cell.
The Wendigo crossed his arms over his chest.
That's not exactly the plan. The boss will fill us in on it when we reach her. Now come on.
He cinched his backpack and pushed on through the trees. The ogre nodded overenthusiastically, forgetting the fog for the moment.
Pick up your club. How are you to defend yourself if a big scary monster does attack you through the fog?
The ogre snarled as he snatched up his club and followed the Wendigo. He smacked his club against his palm.
That wasn't nice. I ought to club you.
Ugh.
The Wendigo sighed disgustedly and muttered,
Ogres, they're like children.
What you say?
The Wendigo smiled good-naturedly, which looked quite evil on his scarred and twisted face.
I said, if we're lucky, the boss will have some children for you to eat.
That wasn't likely. For the most part, monsters only ate children in the good old days. That was back when humans were more superstitious. Also, before humans had guns.
Oh, goody!
The ogre licked his lips.
That would make a most delicious meal. I think, what do children taste like?
The Wendigo thought about it.
When am I ever going to get any real recruits?
He muttered,
Huh? What you say?
I said they taste like chicken.
The ogre's face contorted.
I don't like chicken.
What?
Why not?
All those stupid feathers get stuck in my mouth.
Jeez.
The Wendigo facepalmed.
You're not supposed to eat the feathers. Everyone knows you've got to pluck them first.
Pluck? What is this plucking business?
Before the Wendigo could groan, the smell of a campfire hit their nostrils. The Wendigo pushed through the heavy mists, and they entered a small clearing in the woods. There was a campfire, some pigeon-sized chunks of charred meat lying on the ground, and a big purple dragon waiting for them. The ogre sniffed furiously.
Food, he groaned. I hope it ain't children. Or chicken.
Orange flames whooshed out between the dragon's narrow, clenched jaws and around the gnarled teeth that protruded up and down over the sides of her scaly lips. While the ogre leapt back a step in surprise, the Wendigo chuckled and saluted the dragon.
It's rats.
The dragon's voice was a grave coo.
Oh, goody! I like rats!
The ogre grinned, showing all his teeth.
You sure?
The Wendigo asked.
They taste like chicken.
The ogre crossed his burly arms and shook his head.
They do not. They ain't got no feathers.
The Wendigo sighed and turned to face his boss, the dragon.
I'm not complaining. Rats sound fine to me.
Good.
The dragon chuffed in some air, and dark smoke curled from her nostrils.
The rats. There is plenty of meat on them. It would appear they grow quite large in the forests around rainwater, unless it's some effect of this mist.
The Wendigo had to admit, the greenish mists were unnerving. Luckily, they were hanging back from the campsite. But why? Not that he was complaining. The Wendigo unstrapped his backpack and let it drop to the earth.
That is good. After all those hours hiking with that ogre, I could eat a horse. Pun intended.
He eyed the charred chunks resting on the ground by the fire.
How large we talking?
The dragon shrugged a scaly shoulder.
The rats I came upon and promptly roasted with my fire breath had teeth at least 2 inches long.
The Wendigo frowned. It wasn't much different from his resting frown face.
Really? That's long.
He shook his hairy, twisted arms as if to rid himself of nervous tension.
A bite like that could punch right through my skin.
He nodded at the ogre who had bent and was sniffing the charred rats, his nostrils an inch from the meat.
Maybe even through his thick skin.
The dragon's gaze rested thoughtfully on the ogre as he dropped his club, picked up a charred rat, stuffed the whole thing into his mouth, and swallowed.
Yum. Tasty. Can I have another?
May I?
The Wendigo corrected.
Use some damn manners in front of the boss.
That's the kind of muscle you bring me.
The dragon's words had a tinge of distaste to them.
He's all I could find on such short notice.
Have you forgotten that we're going up against Mane Half-Troll, the mantle-wearer, spawn of the full troll Valkyus?
The Wendigo reached behind his head and scratched.
I'll head back out in the morning, try to scrounge up some more of the corruptor's followers. I'm not making excuses, but they're not easy to find. Ever since his defeat, they've made themselves scarce.
He cocked his head at the ogre, who was on his fourth rat now.
He may not have a brain, but he's got plenty of muscle.
The dragon blew more smoke from her nostrils.
Yes, I can see that. We can use him,
as well as the rest of the recruits you have brought me over the past few days. She reflectively paused as she gazed at the cloudy night sky in the forest clearing. Tomorrow will be a year since the corruptor's fall. By now, the main troll shall have grown lax and complacent. Our time to strike, to gain glory for our master grows nigh. The dragon's claws dug rivulets into the earth beneath her. The Wendigo leaned conspiratorially toward the dragon.
You truly mean to strike so soon?
Behind them, the ogre gulping down charred rat meat punctuated the sounds of the forest.
Tomorrow night.
The Wendigo rubbed his jaw soberly.
What about these greenish mists? Are they going to be a problem?
The dragon blinked scaly eyelids, then peered at him through her slitted eyes.
You are afraid of a weather phenomenon?
No, it's just...
The Wendigo ran his hand along the side of his head.
That ogre may be dumb as a block, but he is right about one thing. Those mists are scary, and I don't like them either.
He swallowed.
You disagree?
It is true I can fly over this greenish fog, but I do not fear walking through it.
Neither should you. You're not growing soft, are you? No, of course not. It's not that. I've seen some stuff in my time. Those mists, when you're walking through them, you sort of feel like someone is watching you. I don't know. They seem malevolent somehow.
The dragon's low growl sounded like thunder.
Tell me, how can fog hurt you?
I don't know. It's not the mists, but what's inside the mists.
The dragon inched closer to the Wendigo, never taking her eyes from him.
What's inside the mists? Monsters.
I don't know,
the Wendigo admitted.
We are monsters. We are going to carry out our mission tomorrow. Nothing is going to stop us, especially not some fog.
The dragon's words trailed off as the greenish fog advanced on them, slowly closing in on their campsite.
What's happening?
The Wendigo spat. The mists crept closer and closer. A belch split the air.
Something the matter?
The ogre asked. Then he yelped, as he too saw the mists as they engulfed the trio. Silence. The campfire's faint glow continued to dance off to the side. Shadows flickered. Figures moved through the mists. Fast.
Cabbage soup!
The ogre yelped.
Thick as cabbage soup! I can't breathe!
The Wendigo backstepped away from the ogre. If there was something in this fog, it would likely be attracted to the biggest, loudest member of their group. A few moments later, the Wendigo pressed against one of the purple dragon's scaly legs. The Wendigo drew a deep breath, then flinched as a wolfish howl rent the air, thick with greenish fog.
What was that?
The Wendigo whispered. Fire and heat smoldered from inside the dragon's partially closed jaws.
Probably a dire wolf. They are known to frequent this area.
Another howl tore through the night. The fog's acoustics made it sound surreal, as if it was choking it off, absorbing the noise. The Wendigo knew that these mists, there was some kind of power within them. Another splitting howl sounded. Then the ogre shouted.
Ow! It's got my ankle! Something's got my ankle! Help!
The Wendigo didn't move. Neither did the dragon. They still didn't know what they were up against. They waited in uneasy silence.
My ankle! Teeth! Ow! My ankle!
There was a smack, a yelp, a thud. then the sound of the ogre drawing in a deep inrush of air.
Take that, you meanie! Now where's my club at? I'm a-gonna murder you, whoever you are.
The Wendigo and Dragon listened from their place in the mists. Their vision stretched only a few feet in front of them, in all directions. There came the heavy footsteps of the ogre stomping around, searching for his club. Then there was a terrible slice and a sputtering sound, a large thud as a heavy mass dropped to the earth. It got him, the Wendigo muttered. A howl, then a deep growl. Multiple shadows flickered through the mists like phantoms.
I didn't sign up for this.
The Wendigo flexed his claws, preparing for the inevitable conflict about to start.
May the corruptor rot in his cell!
The dragon growled.
Worthless.
She spun, and her tail shoved the Wendigo to the ground hard enough to knock the wind from his lungs. His head spun. The mists swirled. The dragon unleashed a throaty roar, and flames shot out in a vicious cone that burned through the fog, incinerated trees, and charred the earth. The ground shook as the dragon turned. Her tail displaced full-grown cedar trees as if they were saplings. Another cone of fire. A deafening roar.
Cowards!
The dragon cried in an arrogant coo.
You don't frighten me. Show yourself.
Silence. The dragon's claws raked across the earth as she turned to survey the clearing where her fire breath had burned away the mist. She peered out and waited. Stillness. Then the greenish mist closed in on the campsite again.
Very well,
the dragon growled. She opened her jaws once more, then cried out in terror. There was a slicing sound, and the dragon's head separated from her neck. It landed in the Wendigo's arms. He ran. Chapter 2. The wind blasted Maine's hair up and to the sides as she rushed down the sidewalk to the sacred sourdough. Night was falling, so the street lamps were aglow, washing the cobblestone streets and quaint buildings with soft, warm light, found only in small towns after sunset. Of course, this was not only some small town. It was a magical small town. It was rainwater. According to Sage's text and voice message, something was very, very wrong. She'd fallen asleep on a sofa in her mansion study after solving a long and arduous case involving an underground mandrake smuggling operation. She'd had steady work since she defeated the corruptor almost a year ago. Once things had returned to normal, she didn't mind throwing herself into case after case. She loved staying busy. She loved losing herself in each new case and working with the bright-eyed and sometimes actual bushy-tailed residents of Rainwater. Each case held different intricacies, dangers, and rewards. She'd recovered stolen arcane artifacts, helped track down runaway garden gnomes, and rescued a baby kappa from a cult. She'd take rescuing a kappa from a cult any day over contending with the corruptor trying to start an apocalypse. The way Sage had sounded in his voicemail, the world was ending. Again. Always something. She wiped the sweat from her eyes and rounded a street corner. Rainwater's premier gourmet restaurant, the newly rebuilt and renovated Sacred Sourdough, was only a block away. What could be the issue, she wondered, as her pumping legs carried her down the lamplit street. Hopefully she wasn't too late. If only she hadn't fallen asleep and had been able to talk to Sage in person, she could have gotten some more details about what was going down. After she'd seen the texts and listened to the frantic voicemail, Maine had thrown on the mantle and started toward the sacred sourdough. Whatever was wrong, it had to be serious. It wasn't like Sage to joke, especially about anything important. Had demons attacked the restaurant? Had a batch of sentient sourdough gingermen rebelled against their baker? Had a garbage clam eaten a customer? Taking her father's muscle car would have been quicker, but her Cyclops ghost butler said the troll cave remained flooded. She thought he would have been able to drain it by now, but it was a big cave. Maine had to go on foot. She was almost there now. As she neared the restaurant, she flexed her fingers, preparing to cast fireballs if necessary. As a troll, fists and fireballs were her friends. Seriously, what could it be? With a hammering heart and parched throat, she rounded one last corner. The sacred sourdough rose before her. Its parking lot was empty, not unusual for this time of night. That ruled out a garbage clam eating a customer. She saw no antagonists outside, no rough-looking characters, no one. The lights were all off inside the restaurant, too. She slowed as she took in the restaurant's facade. She had so many warm memories here. Also, a very hectic one, when the corruptor had lured her into a replica sacred sourdough and a trap. Was this another trap? She had to be prepared. As she crept up to the abandoned-looking restaurant, Maine whispered, "Mantle, what are we up against? What dangers do you sense?" The demon weapon's voice hissed in her mind.
"I sense no danger."
"What do you mean, no danger?" She reached the sacred sourdough's front entrance. She threw her back against the wall beside the front doors.
"I mean exactly what I said."
"Yeah, but you paused."
"I was, sensing."
Maine brushed her bangs out of her eyes. "This all feels wrong. Something's up. I know it. Can you check again?" The mantle could detect threats and weaknesses that she couldn't on her own. For its spidey alarms not to go off like storm sirens right now, well, she didn't know what that meant. Was dark magic at play, interfering with the mantle's abilities?
"Troll woman, I do not appreciate you doubting my abilities. Surely you trust me."
She did, usually. The mantle had never led her astray, but it occasionally got carried away with its suggested courses of action. However, it had never acted in a way that would put her in more danger. As far as she knew, the mantle respected her as its master and could not turn against its current master. This situation was all wrong. First Sage's frantic texts and voicemail. Now the mantle said there were no threats on the premises. For that matter, where was Knopf? The miniature direwolf was her partner, and they were nearly inseparable most days. Where was he now? Maine edged closer to the door. She was about to peek through the door window when the mantle hissed,
"I would advise against that."
Disregarding the mantle, she peeked inside. It was dark inside. Too dark to see, but she thought she glimpsed an animal's eye reflecting at her. She blinked. Then it was gone. Only darkness inside.
"As I have already said, I sense no danger here. Enter and see what Sage wants."
She pulled back from the window, reached for the door handle, then stopped. No. If this was a trap, she would sneak around to the back door and enter through the kitchen. That way she could catch Sage's kidnappers off guard. He had to be kidnapped. That was the only explanation that made sense. His kidnappers were inside with the lights off, waiting to spring a trap on her too. This was all an elaborate setup. She swiveled away from the front doors and crept around the restaurant's corner. Then she moved along the sidewall, careful to keep her head below the windows set at chest height.
"I would strongly suggest entering via the front door like a normal person."
"It's a trap," Maine blurted in a whisper.
"You're being paranoid."
Maine stopped mid-crouch. "Me? Paranoid?" There was a window right above her. Maybe she should sneak another peek. The lighting was better here from one of the parking lot lights. She edged to the side of the window and rose. She peeked inside. She saw
a boy and girl wearing German lederhosen, crouching in the darkness. Their teeth gritted together in gleeful anticipation. The girl had blonde pigtails.
Maine blinked. What the... Then The two German kids glanced up and locked eyes with her. They licked their lips. Maine spun away from the window and dropped into a crouch. Not paranoid? There's a friggin' pair of evil German kids in there that look like they want to eat me. What the hell is going on?
Those aren't kids. They're immortal myths.
Immortal myths? Maine gasped as she pressed her back against the wall beneath the window.
Yes, they are quite friendly.
Friendly? They kidnapped Sage and are trying to lure me inside. What if they already ate Sage?
Now you're being ridiculous.
Maine steeled herself. Am I? She gritted her teeth and drew a deep breath. Then she pushed away from the wall, stood, and faced the restaurant. Through the window, the two German immortal kids, or whatever, stared back at her, their faces now a mix of shock and concern. These two might look like kids, but they were something much more. Their youthful, innocent appearance reminded her of Cupid. He had turned out to be anything but innocent and harmless. Maine knew what she had to do. She raised an arm and crashed through the window into the restaurant like a crazy woman. Chapter 3. Surprise! The ceiling lights flashed on, and Maine fell back, stunned and blinded. The world was a confusion of camera flashes and people. So many people. Where had they all come from? What did they want? How was she to defend against them all?
Got you,
the mantle hissed. What? Maine half shouted in her disorientation.
Ooh, fire,
a German-accented voice called from the crowd. Glancing down, Maine saw she had a fireball conjured over each palm. Not knowing for sure if she was in danger, her combat instincts took over, imbuing each fireball with more fuel, and the flames flickered higher.
Oh, yes, quite a show,
another German-accented voice said. The first had been female. This was male. Maine locked in on their persons, the creepy boy and girl in German attire. Her eyes narrowing, she thrust out both hands toward the duo, preparing to launch the projectiles. Gasps arose from the crowd. Did these people think this was a show? She'd show them.
Cool yourself, the mantle hissed. Can you not see what this is?
Maine blinked behind her outraised fireballs. Finally, as the haze of war faded from her vision, she noticed all the decorations. Streamers hung from the ceiling, and banners decorated the walls. All those gathered wore party hats. Most were people she knew, residents of Rainwater. Sage stepped forth from them in his chef's attire, with a party hat on his head and a party streamer pressed to his lips. He blew into it, and the streamer unfurled with a puny kazoo-like sound.
Hey, happy anniversary, he said uncertainly,
and plastered a big grin on his face as his gaze focused on the two fireballs in her hands. Maine stood there for a few moments, trying to process.
The troll is sinking,
the German boy said. Maine's arms tensed, and the fireballs flickered up once more as she glanced from Sage to the German boy. Anniversary? She asked at last. Sage nodded, his grin still wide as he carefully watched her fireballs. Maine gazed at those gathered. Amid the crowd, she spotted her stepmom, Makime, Blue Dot, the tech wizard fairy, and Sam, the satyr mailman. This isn't a kidnapping?
The German girl clapped. Kidnapping? She's so funny, isn't she, Hansel?
The boy grinned.
No, dear, Sage confirmed.
Now, how about we put out the fire before the sacred sourdough burns down? Happy anniversary, Maine, the banners proclaimed from all around the restaurant's dining room. While this made no sense, it seemed she wasn't in danger.
Told you so,
the mantle hissed in a satisfied tone.
You were in on this?
Maine muttered. The mantle affirmed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?